You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
So can you all listen fast? And so we're starting a new series today. I want to read to you out of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, verse 3. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier. Everybody say soldier. Of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize. Uh-oh, it just went away. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. Verse 6. And hardworking farmers shouldn't be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Verse 7. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. So we've been talking this year a lot about your identity. Remember, it's important for you to know who Jesus is. Remember, they came and Jesus said this. He asked this question, who do men say that I am? And they answered. And then Peter said, but you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Everybody say revelation. What I want for you today is revelation. And then, remember, they came to John the Baptist and they said, who are you? And he said, well, I can tell you who I'm not. I'm not the Christ. But I am the one who's come to prepare the way. And so he knew who he was. And so the Lord spoke to me. Pastor Rhonda's aunt passed away, went home to be with the Lord. And so we drove up to Huntington, Indiana. And so I was driving through my old stomping grounds, and I did not miss the corn. I do not miss the soybeans. It's just starting to grow. I don't miss the farms. I'm so grateful that I live in the great state of Alabama. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful. But we were going up there, and so I was listening to Brother Hagin on the way up and on the way home in the car. But I was thinking along these things, and while I was listening, the Holy Ghost began to speak to me about this, and he said to me, the reason that so many people, especially believers, are messed up today is because they don't know their identity. They don't know who they are. Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know how to talk, you don't know how to walk, you don't know how to navigate this life. We can't let the world tell us who we are. What we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to accept, what we're supposed to reject. That's God's part. He's the one who tells us who we are. So as I was looking at this, and I've been wanting to do this for a really long time, this series called Your Identity, the Soldier, the Athlete, the Farmer, because what you want to see in this is that here we have Dr. Madkins. One day he came on Wednesday, and he was wearing his military uniform. I'm like, oh, I'm going to use him. Because I also know, aren't those Red Sox cool? He's the leader of our Connect basketball group. So I got a soldier and an athlete, and I never knew whether he's ever been a farmer or not. But I thought if we just put him in a bibs and get him ready, I mean, he's good. So we got it good to go. But what I want you in this series we're going to do is you are all three, and you become the guy in the middle. You are all three. You are a soldier. Everybody say, I'm a soldier. Say, I'm an athlete. And I'm a farmer. But you see, we're going to teach them individually, but God needs you to be all three of these at one time. And therefore, then you get the guy in the middle. You get the guy who is an athlete. He's got his red socks on and his tennis shoes, but he's got his farm tool, but he's also dressed like a military man. And you see, in the spirit, that's what God wants you to look like. He wants you to look like all three as one. But in order to learn who you are, we're going to have to look at the soldier separately. We're going to have to look at the athlete separately. And we're going to have to look at the farmer. And so today we're going to start looking at the soldier. Everybody say it again. I'm a soldier. So you are a soldier. And so we need to understand that God wants us to fight and win. And we're going to learn how to fight. We're going to learn that we have an enemy. And we're going to have to learn how to navigate this part of our life. So again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 of the New American Standard Bible, it says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. So you're not just a soldier, you're a good soldier. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And so I want you to first see that. I just want to put this in you. You are a soldier. Say it one more time. Say, I'm a soldier. And so when you get that, you'll understand that a soldier does what? A soldier fights. A soldier is trained to fight. Do we got anyone in the room that is an actual soldier? Anybody in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guards? Do I got anybody? Can I get a huh or something? Do we got anybody? Yeah, okay. So we need you. Because there are certain things, because this is what happened. Even Paul, when he was getting revelations in Ephesians chapter 6, he looked at a Roman soldier, and he gave us, and we're going to look at it, the armor of a soldier, but he related it spiritually. And so if God is calling you and I soldiers, then we need to understand what a natural soldier goes through, the attitude of a natural soldier, the work ethic of a natural soldier, the learning how to take command as a natural soldier is something that you and I need. In other words, we've been talking about Jesus being the Lord. How many of you know that a soldier doesn't get to say, you know, like you get this thing, your orders to go somewhere, and it says upper New York. And you don't get to go to the commanding officer with a piece of paper and say, yeah, but I requested Hawaii. So I'd like a change order, please. I'll be waiting in my room, and when you get that done, come see me. I'm aloha. How many know it doesn't work that way? Why? That you go where they tell you. In the same way, everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. The highest places I can get in my life is when I realize my life is not my own. When I quit messing around and thinking I was in charge. Now, as you do that and you say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, then he will do some things and say some things and give you things to do that you can prove that he is really the Lord of your life. He'll have you give some things away sometimes. He'll have you do some things that maybe aren't in your comfort zone or your wheelhouse. He'll have you pick up and move from Illinois to Alabama. Some of you, he may have, it just depends. When Jesus is your Lord, while you're in Walmart shopping, he may tell you to go talk to somebody. And you know, when he's your Lord, you do what he says, knowing that he gives you the ability to do whatever that is. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. And so as a soldier, that's one of the things you need to learn how to do is take orders from your commanding officer. But make no doubt about it, you're a soldier. And when I think of a soldier, one of the main things I think about a soldier is they fight. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. So how many of you know you're in a fight? But it's a good fight. What is a good fight? A good fight is one you win. How are you going to win this fight? By faith. And so a good soldier learns how to operate in faith. And then it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we're in a fight. It tells us we're in a war. And it gives us some of the equipment we have. If you aren't a soldier, if you weren't in a fight, if you weren't in warfare, then you would not need this spiritual equipment that you have. But you have it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In verse 12, you see the enemy's army. They're arrayed in order. But you see them, and he tells you who they are. This is who you're fighting against. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, or in front of all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so, you see, you have weapons. You have weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. It says this. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that's army talk. That's war talk. And so one of the things sometimes Christians do is they just don't want to believe they're in a war. But you are at war. Now, the great thing about this war we're in is we know we win. Amen. Jesus is the commander-in-chief of the armies of God, and he's already won. I like my spiritual father, what he said. He said, really, the army we're in today spiritually is an occupation army. What that means is the victory has already been won, and now we're just reinforcing the victory. And so anytime a little skirmish comes up in our life, we're to put it down. But we do it from a place of victory. But you make no mistake about it, you're in a warfare. If you don't realize you've got an enemy, then you're headed for defeat, because you have an enemy. You have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. What's the enemy like? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so a lot of times today in the body of Christ, a lot of people, they just believe this. They believe, well, if anything's going on, God will take care of it. How many of you know God will take care of it, but there's a part that you've got to play? So for us just to sit back and do nothing and just believe that God's going to take care of it is very foolish, because of the way God set some things up here on planet Earth. There is an enemy. Jesus did defeat him. Are you glad? Do you have a name that's above every name? But see, if you didn't need weapons, if you weren't in a fight, then you wouldn't need any weapons. I said, if you were not in a fight, you wouldn't need any weapons. You know, I was listening to this tape, and I was listening to it again, and I'm just telling you, it just keeps coming up. It's like I've never heard him tell this story so much, Brother Hagin I'm talking about, and now almost every tape I get a hold of, he's recounting this story. And so he's telling the story, I think it's in his I Believe in Visions book. He's telling the story how the Lord Jesus has appeared to him and is teaching him about demons and how to take authority over them. And suddenly at the end of the vision, this demon, he describes it as a little monkey-like creature with a weird-looking face, and jumps around, and he says, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. And suddenly he can't hear Jesus. He said there's a dark cloud that comes and a mist, and he said he can't see Jesus, he can't hear Jesus. All he can hear is yakety-yak, yakety-yak. And so, anybody ever feel it? Anybody got any yakety-yak going on in your life? That old song, yakety-yak, don't talk back. Anyway, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. I mean, how many know the devil has access to our mind, and he has access to our life by circumstances? And so the enemy is always, yakety-yak reminds me of confusion. The devil's always trying to bring confusion. He's always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, suddenly Brother Hagin said he's waiting, and I hear him tell this story, he's waiting for Jesus, the head of the church, who destroyed the devil, to do something about it. But Jesus just, he knows he's talking, but he can't hear him. And so Brother Hagin says, finally, out of frustration, I yell out, in the name of Jesus, shut up. He said, so when he says shut up, he said that monkey-like thing just fell to the ground and began to tremble like a little whoop pup, is what he said. And so then, you know, he's just shaking, and then finally Jesus is talking, and then they get, Brother Hagin and him begin to converse. This is so wild, but it's scriptural. And he says to him, basically, Jesus spoke to him and said, well, if you hadn't done anything, I couldn't. And you all need to hear this, because some of you know it in your brain, but you need to get this in your heart. You're not waiting on God to do anything about your problem. Who is the author of your problem? Who's the cause of your problem? Is God causing you problems? No. Who is it? The devil. Circumstances, life. Who has authority over that? Well, because a lot of people in church who love Jesus, love him with all their heart, going to heaven someday, but they're waiting on God. God knows. Have you ever thought that? God knows. God knows. I had one person who was struggling with something, you know, who I was trying to get him to talk what the word says. And they said, well, God knows. Well, God knows a lot. And he currently knows we're not operating in what he told us to do. And just because he knows it, and just because he wants to do something, he made a way to be legal on the earth. And yes, God knows the devil's harassing you. And yes, God knows the devil's mean. That's why he sent Jesus to destroy him. And Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Jesus said that. Can you imagine? Jesus said, if you hadn't done something, I couldn't. And Brother Hagin said, he pulled in his vision, Brother Hagin said, I'm pulling on my ear and shaking my head. Because he said, well, Lord, I must have misheard you. You said you wouldn't. And Jesus said, no, I said I couldn't. And then I love Brother Hagin. I've always just loved his straightforwardness with the Lord. He said, well, you've just upended my theology. And he said something like this. He said, I've read through the New Testament so many times, hundreds of times, and I've never, ever seen that. If that's true, I don't know it to be true. And he said, the Lord looked at him and said, well, son, there's a lot of things in my word you don't know. And how many know that's true with all of us? We need revelation. Everybody say revelation. What do we need revelation of? So we need revelation in this subject, that you're a soldier, that you're in a fight, but as a fighter, you have authority, and it's a good fight because you win, and you have weapons. You wouldn't have weapons if you weren't meant to use them. And the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And so the Lord told him he couldn't. And Brother Hagin and him argued a little bit about the wouldn't. And then he asked the Lord, he said, well, then you're going to have to show me three scriptures. He said, I'm not taking anything that in a vision that you can't prove by the written word of God. And he said, the Lord smiled at him. The Lord didn't get mad. If you ask the Lord, prove that by the word, he's not going to get mad at you. Because he is the word. Amen. He smiled at him and said, I'll do you one better, I'll give you four. That's cool. That's cool. So the truth is, I just need you to know today you're a soldier and you're in an army and you're at war, but you win if you do it God's way. Quit waiting on God. Pick up your weapons. Pick up your weapons. And we're going to look at those later on as we look more about the soldier. But number one, I need you to know that you're in war. Number two, I need you to know you're a soldier. Number three, you have got an enemy. And just to hope and just to pray that God will do something with your enemy that, you know, it'll go away. I was telling the first service this at the end, and I guess because of time, we're almost at the end now. But I was telling them, there was a time in my life I had gotten out of Bible school. And I went back home. The Lord made me go back to my hometown, which I was not thrilled with. He had told me all these things at Bible school that I was going to do. He gave me this big old dream, and gave me all this thing I was going to do, and none of it included Paris, Illinois. I mean, it just didn't. And I was so excited. I was going to travel and itinerate and go to the nations and help Bible schools and train up pastors and lead teams and have orphanages and go throughout the United States. I had this all planned out and seemed like I had the green light. And then just as I'm, you know, minding my own business, the Holy Ghost said, go home. I was so upset. And so then I got home. So then I go home and I'm there and some things happen. But then the Lord begins to deal with me about being a youth pastor. I'm talking about warfare here in a minute. I'm going to show you something. How not pulling yourself out of the lordship of Jesus puts you in a place for the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, and you can't use your weapons. I had learned some things. I knew some things. I was practicing some things. But the Lord sent me home, and he's like, I want you to be the youth pastor. Well, I, no offense to any youth in the room, but I didn't want to do that. That, to me, was a demotion, and I didn't want to do that. And besides, in that home church of mine, there were only currently three youth that went to the church, and the room that they were going to give me was a junk room. I mean, so I had to clean it out. I had three kids. Nobody in the church cared about youth ministry, and I didn't either. And so so I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to do it. And so the more I didn't want to do it, the more I disobeyed. I opened a door up. And when I opened a door up, the enemy came. And he began to attack my mind. And things that I used to have problem with that I was delivered from that I never thought about, suddenly I'm struggling with. And then what happens is, you know, I'm struggling, and then I had, at that time, I mean, I have a great mom, but I had spiritual moms, Mama Christine, Mama Donna, the other Mama Donna, all, not Madonna, Mama Donna, and they would all call, and so Christine called me, and she'd be like, hey, you're on my heart, what's wrong with you? And you know, when you're going through it, you've got enough Christianese in you. If you just say, glory, or hallelujah, then people will think you're okay. And so I just, all three of them called, I mean, within 2 days, all three of them called me, and I gave them some hallelujahs and some glories and some praise the Lord, and I got off the phone. I was just as miserable as I was. I lied. In other words, I lied through my teeth. And so I just, because I don't know, I didn't want anyone to think that I was messed up, and I was really struggling. And so have anybody ever heard me teach on James chapter 4, verse 7? Submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So I was really struggling. I wasn't, as a soldier, I had pulled myself out of the protection of my commander-in-chief. I didn't want to do what he said. In other words, I was trying to go to Hawaii when he said to go to New York. I was trying to do my thing. That's not what we had planned. But see, I was doing my own planning. And so now I got to get in his plan and his program. But I was refusing to do it. Not telling anybody, because see, a lot of times whatever you all do that other people nod and wink at and say, oh, that's okay, you know, whatever, the Lord's not nodding and winking. You're going to do what he says. You are going to do what he says if you want his full functioning power to work in your life, if you want his grace to work in your life, if you want his ability to work in your life. A lot of times when I'm having trouble, the first thing I'll do is I'll make sure I'm submitted to God. Submitted to God, submitted in all three areas. Anyway, so I'm struggling, and the Lord begins to teach me out of James 4, 7. And he basically says, you are going to do this. And so finally I said, sir, yes, sir. And when I did, everything I was dealing with went away. And I hadn't done the first youth meeting yet. I hadn't cleaned out the room yet. I hadn't even told the pastor that I accepted yet. I just said, sir, yes, sir. Jesus, the Lord of my life. A grace came on me to resist the enemy, and he was running from me as in terror. What is that? I use the weapons of my warfare that are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. You don't get to decide your life. You get to discover it. And when you discover what God has for you, it'll bless you. It'll bless everybody around you. It'll please you. But you, how many know you have an enemy? And the enemy is waiting. He's trying to figure out, how many know the devil unfortunately knows your weakness? He knows my weakness. You know, people say, well, the devil's stupid. He's a lot of things, but stupid is not one of them. He's a master deceiver. Listen, if he can deceive Adam and Eve, if he can deceive Eve, if he could deceive her, one who is made perfect, he can deceive you. You and I ought not think so highly of ourselves. Without Jesus, you and I are nothing. Without Jesus, you and I can't do anything. Without Jesus, you just don't know a whole lot. But aren't you glad you're not in him? You are in him and you're not in yourself anymore. And so I remember the day I could take you to the place in a farmhouse in Illinois, sitting around a dining room table, that I surrendered. And I became, at that moment, I was going to be the best youth pastor the world has ever seen. I made up my mind. And you know what? I did it for a season, and I loved every minute of it. I have kids, they're no longer kids, they're in full-time ministry today. I was their youth pastor. I loved every minute of it. I did. I even enjoyed going to King's Island. Hallelujah. I enjoyed having fun. I enjoyed teaching them. And then something happened, and I couldn't tell everybody what happened, but the pastor made me resign because I was too word of faith for the direction he wanted to take the church. But I couldn't tell anybody. But I had some mamas mad at me. I remember this one. She came, put her finger in my face. She said, "You made my son fall in love with Jesus. He reads the Bible, and now you're going to abandon him." And I never could tell her, and I haven't told her to this day, unless you're watching. I had nothing. I just obeyed. I just kept quiet because I didn't want to cause any problem. Couldn't tell anybody. But I was removed because I was too word of faith, too Holy Ghost. But I did my part. I submitted to God. This is a whole different mess today. It's not a mess. It's a good thing. It's not where I was going, but who in the room? Where are you? Who are you? What's God dealing with you about? Will you surrender? Will you make him Lord of your life? Kind of musicians. Will you totally yield? Listen, you have an enemy, and he wants to deceive you. He wants to lie to you. But your identity is in God, and one of the things he needs you to know is you're a soldier. And when you yield to God, when you totally yield, then God can begin to work in that area of your life, and you'll be able to resist. Listen, no temptation that comes to you. If it comes, you'll be able to resist it. But you've got to see yourself as a soldier. You got to see yourself who God has made you.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.